Best Leaves Clues podcast with Robin Bailey and Al McDonald. Have you ever wondered what makes someone successful? What are they doing that's different? How do they achieve greatness? We believe that success leaves clues. In this series, we are interviewing very successful people from different walks of life to hear their stories. We'd like to remind our listeners that the views expressed in this podcast are those of our guests and not necessarily those shared by our hosts. Today's episode is sponsored by Life and Legacy Advisory Group. Discover our commitment to our clients. At Life and Legacy, building wealth, securing your family's future, giving back, and creating a lasting legacy are not just values, but a way of life. Let us guide you toward a future aligned with what matters most to you. We're also brought to you by Aria Benefits. If you're a business leader challenged with talent attraction, employee engagement, or supporting mental health, we can help. Use your benefits package as the key to unlock your workforce. Now here's your hosts, Robin Bailey and Al McDonald.
Welcome back to the Success Leaves Clues podcast. I'm your host, Robin Bailey, back at it again with my co-host, Al McDonald. Al, you were in Prague this summer, correct? Riding your bike?
I was. It was a great thrill. I haven't been there before. Had zero expectations, but after being there, I would definitely go back and I would recommend it to anyone who has never been there. It was a lot of fun.
Well, I was thinking about you this morning because I saw in the news that the NHL, their first game of the season, is in Prague. Today, the Devils playing the Sabres.
Yep.
At first, I thought, well, I'm in Prague. I'll probably be on a patio, but I looked at the weather. It's actually raining. So I think in this case, I would go to the game and take that in.
Yeah, it's a great place to be. And if you haven't been there before and you're thinking of some place to go, I'd put it at the top of the list.
Yeah, definitely. Certainly somewhere I would go back to. Well, let's jump into it because on the pod today is Joe Diabaldo, president of Clarity Recruitment. Joe, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Robin. Nice to see you, Al.
Yeah, good to see you. We have these initial conversations that we call chemistry calls. And I think about 30 seconds into the call, I'm like, okay, this guy's a good person to talk to. And we had a really good conversation. So I'm hoping we can continue that today. But I wanted to start with recruiting because it's such a competitive field, at least from my viewpoint, from someone looking out. How did you carve out a niche early in your career? And what strategies do you still use to stand out in what, again, what I view as a crowded space?
I think that's a great question. There's multiple industries where they're hyper-competitive, and they tend to be the ones that have low barriers to entry. And the perspective on recruitment is that what you really need is you need a database and you need a couple of computers. And to be fair, that's what you need to start. If you want to build a business, though, and not a practice, you have to build some significant differentiation, or at least I believe that. So very early in the cycle, I was looking at different businesses after I left my last recruitment firm that I'd helped scale. And I thought, what would be different? What would be a real company as opposed to a practice? And I saw the need for using technology and really engaging media to speak to the audience and to help qualify the candidates. And I started making investments very early when I had no business making investments in technologies. So we built our own technology. We got really, really focused on a niche, which was finance and accounting inside of companies that are going through significant growth or massive transformation. And then we overlaid these new tools that we had created, new methodologies, new frameworks on like, how do we get better at improving decision-making and hiring for this specific audience? And that audience is going through massive change, either driven by growth, or perhaps they're launching a new product, or sometimes these companies are going through a decline and have to reinvent themselves. And we figured if we can solve hiring for those people that are going through these massive changes so quickly and so intensely, then we can solve it for anyone. So launched the company in 2012. We got traction really quickly. I mean, you're always behind where you want to be, because I think as someone running a company, you tend to live in the future, and you two would know this as well, which is we know what can be and we're trying to execute our way there. But for me, it's really about improving these decisions in hiring and these decisions in career choice, because then we'll have a company that scales regardless. Does that make sense?
It does. And Joe, when you talk about investing in technology, that I think I can understand. I've had those conversations with people before, but you also said you were investing in media. Can you just expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, we're here right now. And when you're a company that's doing things that other people won't do because they're costly and they're difficult, and you're building technology workflows, you're building algorithms, and the market is not expecting it, you have to make it relevant for them. And you have to be able to tell the story using video, using narrative so that they can absorb it and be like, wow, this is a better way to do it. And I can see the outcomes that we get. So for us, very early in our cycle, I looked at how could we use video? How could we tell the story of Clarity's technology and our research into human decision-making and behavioral science to bring these things together and really crystallize it for the client? And I think we did a fair job. I don't think we executed perfectly, but we did a fair job. Yeah. Make sense?
It does.
Joe, can you talk a little bit about your career journey and how you got here? Specifically, was founding Clarity Recruitment always part of the vision, or did this come to you later in your career after you'd been through a few things? You just talk about your journey.
For sure. You look at someone's career, and there's a line by Steve Jobs that you can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect them looking backwards. And I don't want to be the person who quotes Steve Jobs. Next thing you know, I'll be dropping Elon Musk in this podcast and quoting him as though it's me. But that resonates with me. I started my career, I come from a family of teachers. So my father was a principal, my mom was a teacher, my sister was a teacher, my uncle was a university professor, his wife was a teacher, their three kids are teachers, and it's in the blood. And going through that journey of being a teacher for a few years is something that I take with me now. Like Clarity is a teaching organization. So I started as a teacher, I moved into launching my own technology company. And to be clear, I was not great at software development. I would say that you shouldn't do something you're bad at. But within that, I learned to deal with the clients and understand the requirements and how to position the offering. And from there, I was bartending at a restaurant, and someone who ran a recruiting firm for Canada and upstate New York came in, and I had taught their daughter, I think it was math, and I think they were in my homeroom too. And they said, you should come in and talk to us, because we can help you find a new technology contract if you want. But in the middle of the interview with them, they said, you should come work here. And I got into recruitment. And like everyone in recruitment, I want to say almost everyone, no one sets out saying, I want to be in recruitment. But the minute that I got into it and I started meeting with the clients, I loved it. I started meeting with the candidates, I loved it. Because you can start looking at how these decisions made over time, if they're good decisions, have an incredible effect on a candidate's career. And in these companies, if we build these effective teams, the whole world changes for them. They move faster. So it's an addiction. Like you end up getting into this and you love it. And I think the best businesses are ones that are addictive for you. So I can do this with you all day. I can talk to people and break down the problems they have. And I can talk to candidates, understand what they aspire to do, and then start building the process that makes that match possible. So for me, it was finding something that I absolutely loved.
Yeah. And your passion obviously is coming through right now, even as you're talking about it. Tell me about the name. Why Clarity Recruitment? What does that mean to you?
So I was in school. I met some really bright people because I went back to school later. I had no business background. And I went back and I did my MBA, and I was in a meeting with people, as you often are in these case studies. And someone looked at me and they said, you know, I got to tell you, the one thing that you have is you have clarity. You really have clarity on things. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And then I'm sitting there about to, a few years later, launch the company. I'm like, what do I call this thing? And I went through so many different things related to journey or decision or, and I just thought that person said, I had clarity on things. And what we all need is we need more clarity in our life, and we don't arrive there. So the company isn't called Clarity Found, it's Clarity. And the website is Finding Clarity, because we're on the journey to get to that point. And we don't ever perfectly arrive at it. We have flashes of it. So the name means a lot to me.
Yeah. And that's a great story. So thanks for sharing that. It's neat the way that that came around. As you said, you can connect the dots going backwards, but not necessarily going forwards. And that would have been one of those cases.
You know, for both of you, if you were in this company right now, you would probably say that it has a real vibe of teaching. I take that with me. When I'm sitting with people, I try to explain it, and I try to create aids to visualize it. And maybe I go a little crazy on it and I drive my team nuts, but I'm like, hey, look at this. And here's how you would communicate this. And here's how we can display this to people. And I always ask you, did I answer your question? Does that make sense? It's like my little tick where I want to make sure that what I'm saying is connecting with the person.
Right.
So you have teaching within the company for sure.
That's great.
Joe, when we used to walk into companies, we don't do it so much anymore because we have meetings like this and the digital platforms. But I remember walking into specific firms over the years, and there was a definite, whether you want to call it an energy or a vibe, and you could feel it. And it's funny, I thought that would go away once we started doing meetings like this. But there are still certain companies and people that I meet with that there is that energy and the vibe that still comes through in the digital platform. So it's encouraging to hear, you know, if you guys were to come into the company today, you would feel that. And I'm sure we would, just on what we know about you so far. I want to take a step back, because you had talked about it in the beginning about starting the company And I think it's such a good lesson. People think, you know, you're going to be here overnight, and overnight could mean 5 years. And that's something that resonates with me, because when we first started this company, and me, Al, and Joe, and we had another partner, but now it's three, I certainly thought at the 5 year period, at the 10 year period, we're approaching the 20 year period, we would be at certain points. And the reality is, it's just not true. I mean, it takes commitment. There are so many times where you just want to say, why am I doing this? You're pulling your hair out, but you have belief in something. So what I'd love to hear from you is, what have been the challenges, or the biggest challenge for you leading the company to the vision that you have? Because you talked about this vision, you know it's there, you're just not there yet.
Mm-hmm. How long do we have?
Hey, as much as you want.
So I just want to clarify the question for a second. The idea of where you think you will be versus where you actually are, and how that feels along the way, and why you end up in the place you're at right now. And
yep.
Like, as someone who looks at how we make decisions, and I'm going to paint this appropriately, we live with the decisions that we make. We sometimes double down on the wrong decision. Sometimes we abandon the right decision too early, and we don't give it the time it needs to come into its own. And I think that for me, I would say probably I did too many things when we launched. We did too many things, as opposed to learning from the idea of chase three rabbits, catch none. You know, decide to actually be more narrowly focused than we are even now. And then what I'm going to argue is the other side of that, which is sometimes I've gone too narrow, where I said I want to be hyper specific in this segment of customer. And then that segment turns in the economy to the downside. And we were narrowly focused. So in hindsight, was that the right move? I think it was a little too narrow in terms of customer focus at times. And I think there were a few too many things we were doing or trying to do at the same time. But if I were to actually say where I should have spent more of my time, it's doing things like this, like speaking about the kind of business that we're building and spending more time with our clients. And I'm loving my job now. Like, let's be clear. Like, I love my job.
We can tell.
Like this year, meeting with people to talk about the company. And when I say meeting with people, I'm talking about people to join the company, to work at Clarity. I'm talking about prospects and customers who haven't yet looked at how we're doing things and then experience it with us. And they're like, how are you doing this? Like, we've had those conversations multiple times in the past few weeks with clients where they're like, how are you able to pull this off? And it's like, well, let me tell you how. And I would break that down for them. Like, that makes a ton of sense, but it still feels great. And then when we're looking at candidates, like, I think what I've shared with you is my perspective is that the candidate is the client. Because if we find the best talent, we can win any client we want to. But more importantly, think about this. The time when you have a chance to affect someone is when they're the most vulnerable. They're very vulnerable when they're trying to figure out what to do with their life and how to make a decision on a career. It's the same person when we're working with the chief financial officer looking for their next job. It is the same person that we'll be working with as a client later on who is actually building his team. But people treat them poorly at this moment in time when they're actually the most vulnerable and trying to make a good decision. And I think that's wrong. So I think what I could have done more of is really hammer this home all the time, really build even better tools and systems that support it, and be even more narrowly focused in some ways, but not too narrowly focused. So I don't know, man, like, we are where we are. And I've been lucky enough to do this and have a measure of success, small measure, because it's a small company. But I think that when you look at it, are you happy with where you are? Yeah. Could you have done better? Definitely. So I'm trying not to make those same mistakes.
Before we hit record, you had made a point of saying, oh, let me put this on do not disturb. And I had shut off email and I'd shut off my CRM. And you had talked about a couple of moments ago about you could do this all day. Like, this is just fun for you. You love it. You're passionate about it.
Yeah.
What we're doing right now, this is what I'm passionate about. Because again, to your point, this is one of the few times in life these days where we just shut everything off and we just get to connect with people. And sitting here listening to you as a business owner and you talking about how you're running your company and some of the principles that you use, I already know this is going to be conversations next week with Al over coffee. Like, oh, that was a good idea. We should talk to him, Joe, more about that. So this is what I love doing. So I really appreciate that you're sharing all this with us.
I appreciate that too. One thing I would say is what people don't understand is that some of our jobs they're the most voyeuristic jobs around. Like, we're invited into companies to solve problems related to human capital in this business. And I'm sure to a certain degree, you feel the same way. We are getting to see what happens inside of companies as they try different things. And it's wicked. It's like, and we can advise them because we're giant pattern recognition things that say, we've seen that unfold. And if you do these two things, it's going to fail. We don't have a crystal ball, but a likelihood of failure. And we get to be rewarded for it. So when I say it's addictive, it's also addictive because it's a bit of a voyeuristic job where you get invited in to solve these problems in companies where you feel sometimes like you had no business being there. But then you realize that by proving some value, they're like, this was great. Thank you. So I think you get the same thing. And you're an ideas person, both of you. So you can talk about this stuff all day, right? Great ideas.
You had mentioned earlier you started to go down the path of success, and I wanted to follow that, but I wanted to swing back to what you talked about before, which was, you know, your impact on people and your impact when they're perhaps at a very vulnerable stage in their life. And I remember listening and hearing that in our first conversation, and I thought that was just a really great, unique approach. So I was going to bring it up, but you did already. So I think we forget sometimes we're kind of focused on those business things, right? The revenue and making the sale or bringing on a new client or whatever. And we sometimes forget that there's people involved and it really impacts them. So I'm really glad that you brought that up. And I think it's a really unique perspective. But let's swing back because you mentioned success. So talk about, for you, what does success mean? And has that changed throughout your career?
I wasn't prepared for that one. So to clarify this, I'm going to look at it from a few different angles. One of them being the family. Another one being the career, right? Another one being how I feel about the development of myself. And I want to start with the overall thesis, which is we're all going to get to where we're going anyways. It matters how we get there. And when we're talking about success, we hear about these companies that go through this massive scaling and they're saying, well, look at these incredible things. And they've gone from this to a unicorn. And inside those companies are stories of how the people did it and how they interacted. My choice on how I choose to interact with people is to try to not do damage, and I'll like myself in the end, because we're going to get to where we're going anyways. And how we get there matters to me. We're all going to have to hire people. We're all going to have to fire people. We're all going to be in conflict where we're taken advantage of or feel taken advantage of, whether we are or not. And how we react is our choice. So I try and fail often to manage that. So the better I get at that, the more successful I feel. And this carries over to your personal relationships, because guilt can haunt you constantly about how you treated your colleagues, how you treated your spouse, how you treated your kids. And you're like, geez, why did I behave that way? So what I'm constantly working on is like, do I feel successful as a parent? Am I giving enough to them? And enough is my time and my focus. And these are things that we all know we struggle with. Am I a good husband? Am I providing what my wife needs in a partner and someone who's at the table? Am I supporting her? And then with the business, it's the idea of like, am I practicing what I preach? Am I making good decisions? Am I growing a good company? And how am I doing that? I think that most people understand about me, at least I'm maybe at the leadership team, as we've gotten bigger, it's maybe a little harder, is that I actually do care. These people are all conversation pieces at my house. Like the individuals that work with you, like my family, my parents, my wife knows about them, and what I know about their lives I share, and there's a real affection for them. So for me, this feels fairly successful. But there's self-management and self-regulation in there to make sure that I like who I am while I'm doing these things. So I don't know if that sounds too pie in the sky, but like I can choose how I react to things and cause damage, or I can enhance the feeling that people have for working here. So I try to do the second part as much as I can.
That's a great answer. I mean, we could dive down in and dissect that, but you know, I think you really hit on some important points, and it sounds like it's not just all about the outcome or the result for you. It's a lot about the process and the impact that you have along the way. And I think that's really important. So I'm glad you shared that.
I do want to say one thing though, and I didn't share this. So I was a competitive swimmer from the time I was 8 till I was 20. And I am very competitive. I can't help myself. And I look at it as with swimming, it's a bit of an absurd sport when you think about it, where you go back and forth in a pool, you're swimming 7,000 meters in the morning at 5 in the morning, and then you're swimming another 8 to 9,000 in the evenings, and sometimes you have dry land training, so you're doing twice a day. And it's an incremental sport. I'm turning the dial a little bit, and then at the end of the year, you shave your whole body and you try to knock 0.4 of a second off your time. Like, what? So, like, perhaps for me, my problem is I can invest to make steady incremental gains. Like, I'm comfortable with turning the dial constantly to get better, whether that's work, personal, with my wife, family, with my kids, my parents, all those things I can turn the dial on and take the measure of, because I did 12 years of that intensely and it shapes who you are. So that's the other part, which is like, I'm competitive around these small things, probably like, am I a good husband? Am I a good dad? Am I a good son? Am I a good boss? All of them.
Joe, do you think that being a competitive swimmer has helped you make a splash in the business?
Oh, God. I love it. More.
I had to work it in there. I couldn't resist. I know. Cheesy, cheesy jokes.
Honestly, I hope this thing doesn't go down the drain, though.
Oh, see? See, now we're talking. I did want to talk to you because you started talking about your family. And one of the comments that we had from one of our listeners, who's a chief people officer, she had said, I love the episodes when you get to know the person behind the role.
Yep.
And Tim Ferriss has a wonderful question that he asks occasionally on his podcast. And it's, what is a perfect Tuesday for you? What does that look like?
Wake up at 5:30, 5:15, 5:30, get up. It would be probably June, July, get up, go for a walk down by the water, Lake Ontario, make my way, do a half hour walk, get a bit of sun in my eyes, walk over or drive over to the gym. I know this sounds basic, but for someone who's used to training twice a day, this is a necessary input into my life where I get a little scrambled, have a nice workout, come home. My wife leaves the house early, so I would probably see her just as she's leaving, and I'd get my boys ready for school, drive them to school. We listen to music in the car. They are absolute 80s fanatics. They love We're Not Going to Take It by Twisted Sister.
Amazing.
Also, We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel, and they're singing amazing. These songs. And it's amazing when you play them in, like when they're young and you're playing them into the school, and they open the door to let them out of the car at the school, and they're listening to We're Not Going to Take It, and they're looking at the person opening the door, and the teacher's like, oh, thank you. So probably come back, do something like this with a client or talk to people about the organization, about what it means, whether there's someone looking to join us. That would be great to have that or to do one of these conversations and learn some things. And then from that point, go out and start meeting people in person. So probably some phone work in the morning. And then at nighttime, grab the boys, go down the beach or go and shoot some hoops. Be perfect.
Sounds like a pretty great day. Yeah. Thanks for sharing.
Sounds like a great day. Sounds like a busy day.
Those are those peak moments, right? And ideally the sun is setting as we're shooting the hoops, right?
Oh, beautiful. There you go. Well, we're going to throw a bit of a philosophical question at you, Al. As you may know, Al has his signature question. Out of 210 episodes, every single person has answered it differently. So I'm curious to see how you'll answer it.
Here we go. A society grows great when old persons plant trees in whose shade they will never sit. So you've built a successful business in a competitive industry. Are there any long-term initiatives or goals that you're particularly passionate about? And maybe it's an impact on the industry, but maybe it's an impact on society, your family. What are you passionate about?
The most important thing to me is that the people I care about know that I care, and talk is cheap. So I hope that by the actions that I take, they know how to treat others in the same place. And my dad, I remember my dad saying to me when his dad was passing, he's like, you know, Joe, I do this. And he spent a ton of time with him. Like, I do this with my parents so that you know how to do it with us. So the behaviors that we instill in people in our companies, like each of these moments in time, you're modeling something that people can copy. And it isn't always about being perfect and nice. There's times to stand firm. So I hope that by the way that I treat others, that's at least something that feels reasonable. And I'm trying to do that for my kids as well, the same way that my dad and mom did it for me. The other thing is in the business, I just hope that people understand that everyone says, oh, talent is the key competitive advantage. I just want to use a very simple model. I try to at least help people understand that great talent in building these teams compounds over time as an advantage. If you're hiring people that are 5% better for the role, and that is compounding every year that 5% against your competitors, if you hire brilliant people, they solve these problems that we all have, because business is just a bunch of problems. And that's what I'm trying to teach my team, is that, and they're, by the way, I want to be clear, I don't have the answers. They're teaching me just as much, if not more. But you try to instill that, solve these problems quickly and move on. And the better the people, the faster the problem gets solved. So I hope that people understand that in this industry, that helping the person fit in the right job means that they're solving problems for the company and they're succeeding and growing. So on the business side, I think that way.
Well, again, a great answer. And as Robin said, we get different responses, but there's always something meaningful in there. So thanks for sharing that, Joe.
No problem.
Joe, for listeners who are interested in learning more about Clarity Recruitment or connecting with you directly, what's the best way for people to reach out?
Probably the best way is on LinkedIn. Mention that you saw me here. I'd love to know. And I'll do my best to get back to you really quickly and have a conversation.
Perfect. Thanks again, Joe. Thanks for sharing your journey. It's been a pleasure. And I know our listeners are going to take away a ton from this conversation. Well, that does it for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed this conversation as much as Al and I did. If you have any questions for us, please feel free to give us a call or by joining the conversation on LinkedIn. We saw it here today. Success leads clues. We'll see you next time.